Good morning and welcome again to the Thursday morning edition of Mornings for the Master, a program that is heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea. I am your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week in different courses of study. And in our Thursday programs, we have for some time been studying the book of John, and we are nearing the end of that study, and we are in chapter 20 at this time. We're going to be picking up in chapter 20 and verse 24. Now, before we get into that, I would remind you that our Mornings for the Master programs are heard each weekday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and then replayed each evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then they are posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website within a day or two. And so you can refer back to these programs for further study. Now, let's get right into our study today in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, as we see Jesus appearing to his disciples again. This time, recall that Thomas will now be with them. In the previous time he was with them, he had not been with the others and had refused to believe. We begin in verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now let's go back and look closer now at our text. We return to verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas had not been with them, the other apostles, when they had gathered together on the first day of the week previously. The scripture does not reveal to us why Thomas had not been with them. Perhaps it was despondency. Perhaps he was just ill. We do not know, but we know he was not with them, and that he had been absent at that time. And then in verse 25, it says, "The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" So we find the 10 other apostles telling Thomas that they had seen the Lord. Without a doubt, they would have been very excitedly telling him these facts. But Thomas very strongly reacts to their statements to him. And he just flat out tells them that there is no way that he is going to believe this unless he is able to see Jesus and to touch his wounds. Jesus is about to use Thomas and his attitude in this manner to teach all of us a great lesson that would last through the centuries. And so Thomas is about to have the opportunity to see Jesus and to touch him. Verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." So, when we come to verse 26, the scene moves to the following Sunday. In those old days of old, in the Jews' way of counting days, it would have made it Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, to us, we would consider that 7 days, but to them, that would be 8. And once again, as they are gathered together, the doors are locked. This, of course, would have been for their protection. It was quite dangerous for them to be gathered together, being well known as friends of Jesus. So the doors are locked and they are in the room together. And once again, Jesus suddenly appears in the midst of them. But the difference is, this time, Thomas is present. Now, it is important to note that this is occurring on the first day of the week. The saints always assemble on the first day of the week. And whenever saints, even in this modern age, when we gather together on the first day of the week, make no mistake, Jesus will always be in our midst. And so that day, yes, Jesus was truly in their midst. And so, as Jesus appears, we find that he greets them the same way as he had the week before. He said to them, "Peace to you." And then, upon greeting them and alleviating their any doubts and fears and worries, he now turns his attention toward Thomas, who had not previously been with them or to whom Jesus had not appeared yet. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Jesus, being all-knowing of all things, is quite aware of what Thomas had previously said. And he was quite aware of how Thomas felt. And so, Jesus gives the instruction to Thomas. He tells Thomas to do the very thing that Thomas had said he would have to do in order to believe. He told Thomas to reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. And then notice the incredible statement that Jesus makes. Jesus, looking directly at Thomas, said, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." He's saying, "Thomas, stop your unbelief." Until this point, Thomas did not have faith. He did not believe in the resurrection. He did not have a true faith at this point. But don't pick on Thomas alone. For in this chapter, we have already seen all of the apostles lacking in faith regarding the resurrection of Christ. And Thomas, just like the others, finds his problem identified very clearly by Jesus back in verse 9. They simply did not understand the scriptures. But Thomas, now upon seeing the evidence physically, makes one of the greatest statements ever recorded by a man. And Thomas, in verse 18, "And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God." Thomas confesses Jesus with the statement that would certainly bring chill bumps to most of us. And now, with Thomas having the faith that was needed, now believing, Jesus now teaches a great lesson. Verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Look at this response of Jesus. He did not praise Thomas here, but notice who he praises at this point, who he gives this commendation blessing to. He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." What a critically vital thing for us to see and understand. Thomas believed because he had seen. But seeing is not how saving faith is received. In fact, seeing is not even necessary for faith. The multitudes had witnessed Jesus while he walked upon this earth, and yet, though they saw him, saw the things he did, most of the people that were witness to these things did not believe. But today, man, you and I, we walk by faith and not by sight. God has no room for a topwater faith. Our faith must be complete and whole. I think we can understand this when we consider the depth and level of faith that God is looking for in man. Not only looking for, but requiring of man. Consider this in light of John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, the message is clear. We must be believing. As we come now to verses 30 and 31, John points out that is the whole purpose of this book that he has written. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Again, verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. By the word of God, we obtain faith. We grow our faith. And those who believe are truly blessed, because our belief is based on faith and not by sight. For none of us are 2,000 years old and were around in those days. Consider 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Peter talks about this walk of faith. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. The blessed ones are those who have obtained faith, faith through this precious book divine. This book divine, it has been sent to us by the Holy Spirit, filled with the very words of God. The Spirit searched the mind of God and delivered all things that are necessary, all things that pertain to our salvation. It makes us thoroughly furnished. It equips us for every good work. In verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John gives us the very reason he penned the book. Many people today have a mental assent that they call faith. But it is like the demons that James wrote about. It is not a saving faith. What do you have? Do you have a real belief? Do you have the type of faith that will lead to eternal life? Maybe You're like Thomas was before encountering Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. You have a little faith, but not a faith that is grounded and deep. We must give ourselves to more time in God's Word, to study more, to grow more, to become stronger in faith, and to greater live the abundant life that is found in Jesus Christ. And now we move into chapter 21. And we find the theme there is to follow Jesus. Now we begin as we see their breakfast by the sea. Let's go to verse 1 as Jesus appears again. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So 7 of the 11 apostles have fished during the night. And we find, much like when I attempt to fish, they have caught nothing. And so they would obviously be somewhat disappointed as they reach the morning hour and begin to prepare to head back. In verse 4, it says, But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So as the morning breaks, we find Jesus standing on the shore. The 7 do not recognize that it is Jesus. It could have been from the fact they were too far away to recognize who it was. It may have been that there just wasn't enough light yet. But they didn't recognize him. And so Jesus speaks out to them in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? They answered him, No. So Jesus, when he yelled out to the boat, he asked them if they'd caught any fish. And, of course, the disappointed disciples reply back to Jesus that they had not caught any fish. So now look at what Jesus says to them in verse 6. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. So Jesus told them to throw their net off the right side of the boat and that they would catch fish. The disciples did exactly what Jesus told them. And quickly their nets were overflowing with fish. In fact, the nets were so full that they could not even drag the net into the boat. And then in verse 7, Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. So this is the point where John realizes that it was the Lord Jesus standing on the shore. And he said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Can you imagine and picture the excitement and the joy in John saying that? It's very possible at this moment that John thought back to the events that we read about in Luke chapter 5. This may have been, you know, it's very possible that he still could not by sight see that it was Jesus. Perhaps this is what jogged his mind. Luke 5, beginning in verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and to help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. On that night, the disciples had fished through the entire night with no success. Jesus, in the same manner as he did in chapter 21, told them to throw the nets off the other side of the boat. And just as we are reading in chapter 1, their nets overflowed with fish. When Peter realized that it was the Lord, he dived into the water and began to swim to Jesus. Notice here, as we did in chapter 20, that they responded when they heard the word of the Lord, not upon sight. Again, we walk by faith and not by sight. In verses 8 and 9, we read that the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. So the other disciples, without Peter, make their way in the boat toward the shore. You know, again, we love Peter. Peter didn't care about the fish anymore. He was headed to see his Jesus. When the disciples reached land, they found a charcoal fire, and there was fish laid on it and bread. This is certainly not an accident. Notice that it was a charcoal fire. Jesus is about to set up the coming conversation between him and his beloved Peter. It's interesting for us to note here that the use of a charcoal fire is only found one other place in the New Testament. And next week, when we finish the book of John, we're going to begin by considering that charcoal fire. I hope that you'll join me then. And so, I would remind you that the program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that it'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So if the Lord wills and we're able to be together next week, I hope you'll join me as we complete our study of the book of John. Until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long. May God bless you and have a great day.